Too Busy Not to Pray. That was the title of a book I had years and years ago that I cannot find, but it was a really good book. And really, the title says it all, right? Too Busy Not to Pray. But for many of us, could we really say this? Does this really define the part that prayer has in our life? Usually it's the opposite, isn't it? Usually it's we're so consumed and busy with life, we tend to put prayer on the back burner. Martin Luther, one of the great leaders of the Reformation over 500 years ago now, he could say this and truly and be honest. He was so busy he had to pray. It's supposed that he said it this way: I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. I say is, wow. Does he have a good perspective on the importance of prayer? And I guess we would all quickly admit, right, that prayer is one of the most important, right? One of the most privileged things that we can do. Not only is it important, but it's a privilege to go to the living God, the eternal, holy, holy, holy God, the God of righteousness, the God of grace, to be able to go to Him in prayer through His Son, Jesus. And of course, if we asked the average Christian, we asked you, are you satisfied with your prayer life? What would the typical answer probably be? Oh, no, I wish I did this better. I wish I did that better. You know, it usually has to do with quantity, right? Wish I prayed more. Quality, I wish I knew how to better pray. But this is why we're spending August, and really we're probably going to spend periodic times here from here on prayer. We pray, but the question was last week is, do we pray well? You know, everybody prays. I'll talk to unbelievers, and of course they think they're Christians because, well, I pray to God and He hears them. You know, He answers my prayers. I pray. So everybody prays, but the question is, do we pray well? I don't know if, here we go. So just by way of review, because I really need to start out by reviewing last week's teaching on prayer. Last week we looked at what passage in Jesus' instruction in prayer. What passage was it? You remember? Matthew 6. Good. Matthew 6, okay? And we all recited it, right? We really don't need the Bible for this, because this is next to John 3:16. This is what we learn. And we kind of broke it down, didn't we? We broke it down exactly what is Jesus instructing us in general to pray, because this isn't something just to be recited, but it's a general outline on this at points should be part of our prayers, right? We said that the beginning, at the very top of the list on Jesus' instruction, is to pray for His name to be honored, to be glorified, to be magnified, admired, to admire His holiness and His grace and His mercy and all that He is. Then we said that Jesus tells us that we need to pray for His kingdom to come, that His rule, right? Jesus, God rules everything, but there's areas in this universe, there's areas in this world in which His rule is not fully exercised, right? By His will. All right. We know that. We know that in our own lives, that we sin against Him from time to time, that His will might be done. And then He talked about come to God for your physical needs. You know, what are your needs? And He says, make sure that you confess, confess your sins. He says, make sure that you pray a regular thing, to pray for the protection, that God would not lead you into temptations that would cause you to stumble, and that God would deliver you from the evil one, because we would never match up against Satan. And those who think they do are only fooling themselves. What dominates your prayer? Remember we broke down Jesus' instructions between the physical and the spiritual? Does 80-20 mean anything to anyone from last week? Very good, Shane. Bam. Okay. All right. I heard somebody whispered it too, so that's good. That's right. So, and if we put a statistic or a number on Jesus' prayer and instruction, 80% had to do with God in the spiritual. Confession, protection had to do with the spiritual. And 20% had to do with the physical. And so we asked ourselves, is that how our prayer is imbalanced? Because prayer should be imbalanced, right? It should be very heavy on His kingdom, on the spiritual, and very light on the physical. Now, does that mean that we can never plead and cry to God when we have a physical ailment? Not at all. But overall, our prayer should be dominated by God, should be dominated by the spiritual, and then what is left over then, our physical gets that attention. And we said last week that the focus of our prayer is directed to God, and in one word, the purpose of prayer is God. If we would even keep that in mind, that phrase in mind, we would be so much better at praying. So if someone asks you, what exactly is the purpose of prayer? God. Now there's a whole bunch that can be said about that. But really, when I'm praying to be healed physically, ultimately, what am I hoping? That God will get the glory if He chooses to heal me. But if He chooses not to heal me, then He still gets the glory. When the purpose is God, we know that we are on our way to praying faithfully. Now, what are some examples of kingdom-focused, God-focused prayers? Now, we started talking about this last week, right? I started asking, now, what are some examples of God-focused, kingdom-focused prayers? And what was one of the answers last week? There was a lady who, Val, sat right back there and she goes, okay, I'll start. A kingdom-focused prayer, an example, might be praying this for the lost, for the salvation of souls, right? So whenever you pray something biblically and spiritually, you're praying for the advancement of His kingdom. So if I'm praying, Lord, help me to repent from this sin, is that kingdom-focused prayer? Absolutely, because I'm praying that, Lord, have greater rule in my own heart, my own life. If I'm praying that, Lord, and I think Sue said it last week, let your will be done in the decisions we have to make. Is that advancing His kingdom? Absolutely, it's advancing His will. So anything that is biblical and spiritual is probably kingdom focused. Okay, all right. So we pray, but do we pray well? Now, how in the world are we to know if we're praying well? Well, we'll study it, right? Well, where are we at right now? All right, where are we at as a church family in our prayer life? We pray, but are we praying well? The only way, one of the ways to find out is what? To survey. Does everybody remember doing a survey last week? Okay, all right. So, are you interested in knowing what the survey says? Or no, should I just skip all that and move on? Well, yeah, we took the time to do it, right? We were honest. Honest has to triumph, right? Okay, so here's what the question was. The question was, do you spend time alone with God in prayer? Okay. Now, if the answer was yes, then I wanted you to answer these questions. You remember those? How many times days per week do you pray? On average, how long? What time of day? And do you have a favorite spot? Okay, so how many times a day on average do you think we pray on our own?
5.8.
Hey, you saw it. All right. If you've already seen the sheet,
I forbid you to answer.
All right, 5.8. Is that surprise or is that about right? Okay. I like the blank look. That's good. That's okay. That's good. All right. Okay, average time that we pray. The average time we spend with God.
15 to 30 minutes.
15 to 30, okay. Think it's more or less?
Less.
Billy, stop.
Wow.
This is when we need bouncers, right?
10 minutes
per day. Now, we went from 1 minute, we had, and Nathan, the median was 10. The average was 10, okay? There were a lot of 2 minutes, there were 7 minutes, there's most 10 minutes, there was 2 20 minutes, two 30 minutes, and 1 50 minute, okay? So God gets 10 minutes of our undivided attention a day, okay? What time of day?
Evening.
It is almost split. 6 in the morning, 70 of you said at night, and 7 of you said AM, AM, PM, okay? Your favorite spots was the bedroom, the bed, the porch, the car, home, and table. I don't think I missed any of them. Does anybody else have a favorite spot that they?
Recliner.
Okay. I should have put lazy boy. Oh, did I not put chair?
No, you missed it.
Okay, chair. Anyone else want to add to it?
Car.
That's up there. Okay. Porch, deck, whatever. Okay. All right. Then the next question was, list the typical things or areas that you pray about. This was very interesting.
This is good. Okay. Let's get serious on this one.
Which you guys will probably, except Billy, or if you saw it. What is the number one thing that all of you individually pray for? The number one thing on your heart and mind?
Family.
Church.
Okay, I got family, I got church.
Financial.
Health.
India and Myanmar.
Well, I mean as a whole, what do you think as a whole are the most common number one thing that we, all of us pray for?
Health,
okay. Family. But less than 50% of you pray for your family. This is only what you guys said. Right? Only 13 of you said family. Okay.
It's my family and the church.
Okay. All right. Number two was health and sickness. Again, this is stuff I said, what do you pray for? And this is what you put, and this is how many of you put it. Okay. So 8 out of 31, which by the way, I think there were more adults. There was almost a dozen of you who didn't turn in anything. Okay. Friends, strangers, and family, 8. Church family, 7 out of 31. Praising and thanking God, 6 of you said you regularly do this. Again, this is not foolproof. This is not like exact science. This is just me asking you questions. And there's a lot of factors. Did you understand the question right? If you had to answer again, would you answer differently? But this was just your initial thoughts on the survey, okay? Okay, salvation, world missions, wisdom and guidance, and self got 3 of you. Okay, 3. Okay. And then government and country got 2 out of 31. Okay. All right. So, did I not do that one? Okay. There was a whole list. I must have forgot to write that. There was a whole list of that people. It's on Billy Kingston. Okay. Here's what individuals said. You only got only one person in the survey. He said this. Only one person on each sheet said this. Okay, trials was one. needs, God's will, events, war, poverty, stressful times, help to grow, safety, strength, kids, Flint, Michigan, food, and work. Those all got one entries. So, I was going to talk about what I thought, but honestly, that probably matters very little. I would rather hear what you think about us collectively. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, all right, 1 to 10, how would you rate us as a church family in our prayer life? You would, okay, so Cheryl says 1 to 3. Would it be 1, or would it be 2 or 3?
I'll be generous and say
3. 3. So not good, okay. Now, in your estimation, what is it that's not good?
Well, I'm going by your statistics that you showed.
Okay. What about the statistics?
But self-centered. Most of the prayers are immediate
family
or friend or personal.
Okay. Shelley?
The average isn't very long.
Okay.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, you spend more watching the TV.
Okay. So you what would you rate in quality and quantity, right? Quantity matters. I think it does. You know, I don't want to get in a huge, long rabbit trail discussion, but quantity and quality matter. And I shared this the other night with some people. I only spend 5 minutes with my wife, but it's quality time. Really? Now, is that a compliment to me? Can I really get, even if it's the max quality time in that 5 minutes, is that enough, honey?
No.
Mommy's done. Okay, all right. So, how would you rate it, Shelley? Us?
Well, I'm going with Cheryl.
Okay. You guys are harder than. All right, guys. Let me hear from a guy. Is that Bill? Four. So you more lean towards fair than good. Fair?
Okay.
Fair.
Okay.
And you rate it a little higher because I'm kind of putting you on a spot if you don't know why.
I'll be honest, I expected worse.
What's that?
I'll be honest, I expected worse. I expected the average to be 5 minutes or less. I expected the most popular thing to be just health and medical things, and it'll rank second. And people will pray for their families more than I expected, and that's a positive thing, I think. And some of those prayers for families may even be spiritual.
Well, again, that's the thing. I can't tell. You can't tell on some, you know, unless you specifically said salvation is spiritual welfare, because that week we divide between the spiritual and the physical. Again, that's why this is not like...
These numbers aren't great. But
okay,
that could be a lot worse.
Okay.
I'm just thinking too. I know it's why I had to go downstairs tonight. But what do you pray for? I wrote a few things. I don't think I listed all the things that I would pray for all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So these might be sort of representative of the times, probably more realistic than the things that we pray for. Because different days, there's more certain things that are more important than others.
I mean, absolutely. That's why it was, again, that's where I try to emphasize in general. Because there's always those times that I'm going to be praying for, you know, Ben and Ron and Tammy. You know what I mean? That case, again, keeping in mind the purpose of prayer in the end is always God. You know, but these, and I would look at it, these what were first on your mind. The first on your mind. First on your mind.
Because we have good intentions for what we're trying to do.
Yes.
And are willing to actually learn and accept it. So you can't really be too harsh on yourself and say not good, because at least you're praying for something at the end of the day.
Okay.
It might not be perfect, but nobody is, so
okay.
You got good intentions.
Right. Oh, I mean, I believe, that's why I'm not even, saying I'm indifferent on this, because I know everybody has most everybody has a teachable heart. We want to do better, and we won't be able to do better until we evaluate. Right? And again, this is the only way my people mind knows how to kind of evaluate us in general, too. So, Joyce, did you have something?
Well, I have a hard time even figuring that out, because I pray for prayerless in the morning at my devotions, but then through the day, I talk to God and pray. If I see somebody along the street that looks like them, I'll pray for them, or... just as you think of things all day long, how can you? I have no idea how much, but I have communication all day long.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that, and that's why I wanted to emphasize you take time alone with God. Because we're going to talk about how the option of spending time with God. But that's specifically, is there a specific time in which you sit down by yourself with God and pray, how much time is spent there? Because there is a time that we are through the day and we're talking to God or we see something. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? But yeah, so that, again, that's where the question might have been misconstrued. But most of you put specific times on it, though. So most of you got what I was trying to say. Okay. Any other comments before we go on? All right. So on it. So what would you guys put us at? Fair to good? I mean, it's in your mind. What is it? Okay. Three. All right. So there's room for improvement. Would anybody agree with that? Agree? Okay, room for, all right, let's move on then. Okay, time,
God, and prayer. And this will kind of lead, what Joyce said, lead into what we're talking about today. There's only two possible ways to spend time with God in prayer. Only two. One is scheduled time. This is my routine, or this is when I schedule time. And some of you said in the mornings, some of you said in the evenings, some of you said in the both morning and afternoon. And the other, which Joyce was talking about, is spontaneous, right? Where you see a beautiful sunset, you say, Lord, what an awesome God you are, right? Or you see somebody walking across the parking lot and say, Lord, I pray that that person would come to know you as their Savior. Or you get news that immediately sends you to God in prayer. Spontaneous, okay? Our lives are spent in one or in both of these slots, right? There's stuff that you have scheduled. Did you have something done? Yeah.
When you hear the medical transport going to and from.
Okay. Instantly, yeah. Thank you, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just spontaneous, right?
When the rescue squad goes by the house, I pray for them.
Thank you. Definitely need, absolutely, yes. And so things will send you to God in prayer. All right. And really, this is how we live our lives. Things are either scheduled or they're spontaneous. Most of our lives are scheduled, right? What's a few spontaneous things that come into our life?
Mess that needs to be cleaned up.
Prayer chain, what's that?
A mess that needs to be cleaned up.
A mess that needs cleaned up, right? Okay, like when you come home, you mean there's
mess? Or something that's spontaneous.
You didn't intend to do that, right? Spontaneous, right? Depends on what kind of job you have. You can have spontaneous, I live in the world of being spontaneous, right? This is how we spend our lives, and this is the only options we really have to spend time with God. Now, both are accepted because God is always available. How awesome is that? How awesome is it that there are no restrictions on locations or time? He's always available. This morning, I was just saying, and I was still half asleep, I'm saying, Lord, thank you, you're not like me. I'm half awake, but you never slumber. You never sleep.
How awesome is that? I don't have to come here or to a location in this world to pray and worship to the living God. How awesome and what a privilege that we have free access anytime. And in God's part, He's never hurried. God is never hurried. Come on, Jeff, spit it out. Which I'm sure he says that once in a while, right? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Right, right? That's okay. That's all right. But always available. Now, I'm going to contend, and I would like to impress upon you, that scheduled time is a must. I'm going to say that spontaneous time in prayer is a must. But if I'm going to claim that it's a command or practice, I better show it in Scripture, right? All right, well, let's find times where it's scheduled prayer and times where it's spontaneous prayer. Now, I could have got these wrong, so maybe you'll challenge some of these, okay? So we are going to think about each passage, and we're going to think, okay, is it scheduled or spontaneous or both? Okay, you ready? Here's one. Now, when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, so he went into his house, and the windows in the upper room were open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Now, what document are we talking about that was signed? The document that no one can worship anything but the King Darius, right? Okay, so is that scheduled? Pretty easy, right? Scheduled. Everybody agree? Okay. All right. I, Daniel, understood from the books according to the word of the Lord in Jeremiah. So Daniel's praying Jeremiah of the number of days for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70, or number of years. He knew he was getting close to 70 years. Because remember, they were enslaved at this time. So after reading this passage and realizing how close they were, look at verse 3. I turned my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer and petitions and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord, my God, and I confessed. And then you have his great prayer in Daniel chapter 9. So did he intend on going to God at that moment, in that time of when he was reading the scripture? Jeremiah, no. But reading that passage drove him to prayer. Have you ever had that? Where you read a passage and it drove you to pray, either like, Lord, help me to do this or that, or Lord, thank you that you are the rock. It drives us to prayer. That's spontaneous prayer. So we see Daniel doing, but there's boatload. We could go through the Old Testament, okay? But then let's just look at the New Testament for the sake of time. Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Now, which one is that? That he would often withdraw to deserted places, private places, and prayed. Which would that be? Ooh, I heard both. Okay, so it could be what? You think it could be both? It could include both, right? Because you see many times where he prayed all night so it was opportunity, but he probably had a regular time of a quiet time with God. So Jesus is talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about being killed on the cross, okay? Dying on the cross. He says, and then he says, now my soul is troubled. So speaking of God's will, troubled his soul. That's a sermon in its own about how we approach the troubles in our life. And that, you know, it's okay when, and it's being real with God, that when we have trouble with his will. But this is so instructive because Jesus says, but what should I say? Although I'm grieved, you remember he was so troubled that his sweat included blood because he was so physically distressed. But he said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? When this is exactly what I came for. And spontaneously, what does Jesus do? Says, Father, glorify your name.
spontaneous. Now, in the human aspect, did Jesus intend on spontaneously telling God to glorify his name? No. But the moment and the aspect of his will drove him to that. So this is Paul, the Colossian church. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, remembering you constantly in our prayers. We recall, then he goes on to say specifically. Okay, so now on this one, we remember you in our prayers. Now you see a collective, a pluralistic, not just by himself, but we, whoever is with him. We are constantly praying for you in our prayers. So what do you think? Scheduled or spontaneous? Okay, think of which hole is a little heavier, you think? Spontaneous or scheduled? Again, because we don't know the exact, but what would be your initial thoughts on, is it heavier? Do you think it's scheduled, regular, or just spontaneous? Remembering you constantly, always. So when they pray, now, I would lean towards more regular times because they're gathering, they're together. You know, typically when you spontaneously pray, you're by yourself or you're in a circumstance, or you say, hey, let's pray real quick. That's usually not just spontaneous prayer, isn't just to randomly thank God for other believers, right? That's usually a time when I'm sitting and thinking and spending that time in prayer. Because usually our spontaneous prayer is responding to the situation. All right, so this seems to be more of scheduled, okay? Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote. Okay, what do you think? When he says devote yourselves to prayer, this month we're going to devote ourselves to prayer. It still could include both, but what do you think? But what do you think his intentions were writing that? But yeah, and you know, you're still, you have your opinion, and we have our opinions on this. But it's, to me, would lean towards more regular schedule. Okay. All right. Oh boy. Okay. They continually devoted themselves. This is a Jerusalem church in the first days of the church. They continually devoted themselves to prayer. A whole bunch of other stuff in between. Is that regular scheduled, or is that just spontaneous as they're living life?
Scheduled. All the other stuff on the list is stuff that would be scheduled.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I typically don't just spontaneously pull the Bible out. Unless it's a specific reason, right? Then I need to look up something, but... Okay, yeah, so I could see this more as scheduled, okay? But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. The disciples, they established the deaconship to take care of other physical things so that they could devote themselves to prayer. Does that mean so that we can devote ourselves as we are living life to spontaneously praying? It's probably to a specific ministry of prayer. Whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly, who stand in the synagogues and who stand on the street corners so that others might see them pray. But when you pray, or I'm sorry, I skipped the most important part. He says when they pray so that others can see them, he says their reward is full. They want the praise, they seek the praise of men, they got it. He says, but when you pray, go and find the most private room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will what? Will reward you. Now, he says, when you pray, also don't use meaningless, repetitious words like unbelievers do.
For with many words, they really think that with their many words, that's how they can get their prayers answered. Don't be like this. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask. And I'll just say this, and He has given us way beyond what we've ever asked. Because I don't ask for the same things every day because our Father gives it to us. Scheduled or spontaneous? When you pray. So He's assuming, He's implying you do this. You spend time, regular time, with the Father alone. This one is unmistakably scheduled. Scheduled time of prayer. Our highest priority for us in prayer, according to Jesus, is what? Who? Who's our highest priority in prayer? No matter what is on our mind, no matter what is going on, our world is upside down. Who still has to be the priority in our prayers? God. His glory. His honor. His praise. His name. And again, let's qualify by saying the survey was not perfect. But 6 out of 31 of us, that was our initial response as part of our regular prayer. 6 out of 31. So if asked, all right, what was the average time we spend in prayer? About 10 minutes, okay. And we probably agree that we can do better, right? As a matter of fact, I think we're ready to do better. I think we're eager to do better. I think we're eager to throw ourselves into the ministry of prayer. I think we're ready to experience greater joy and delight in spending deeper fellowship with our Lord. But time will tell, right? Time will tell. But what if I asked you, spend 10 minutes doing nothing but glorifying, admiring, adoring, honoring, and praising God, 10 minutes. Would you run out of words? Would you run out of thoughts within 5 minutes? Because you're saying, holy Toledo, my whole prayer life is 10 minutes, and you want me to just spend time on God's glory and honor and praise for 10 minutes? It would be tough for some. But what if we could learn to pray in such a way that more times than not, you run out of time before you run out of words? Wouldn't that be exciting that, oh man, I gotta get to work. Oh man, I gotta get up. I lost track of time. And I know we've all been there. But how regular? What if we would run out of time regularly before we truly got done even praising God? That would totally transform our prayer life. But first, it would transform our hearts and our thoughts and our minds towards God. Well, it's totally possible. It's so practical. You're like, we probably already knew this. I'm not telling you anything new. Because what does Solomon say? How many new things are under the sun? None, really, right? Okay. What if we could run out of time before running out of words? It's super simple. There's one tool that you absolutely is indispensable. Matter of fact, it is almost a must that you must have, in my estimation, when you're spending your time with God in that scheduled time. Guess what it is? What is that one tool? You can go on the internet and buy one. You used to be able to go in stores and buy one.
Your scriptures.
Yeah. Or you can have it on your phone or whatever. Okay? The Bible. The Bible is a
endless resource. God's word is an endless resource to pray from, to pray back to God. That's it. You already have it. You didn't even know it. All right? And it's, in my estimation, this is not just a suggestion. If we want to pray biblical, if we want to pray in a way that God will answer to glorify Him, we have to have His Word. His Word has to be part of our prayers. His principles, His commands, His desires. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, through obedience, through thought, through meditation, that's when your prayers are effective. When you pray according to my word, which is according to my will. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, and to all who call upon Him in truth. The Hebrew word also has the idea of integrity. So as the Word of God is in your life and you're living out His life, or His Word, you're going to pray His Word. You're going to want His kingdom to rule. You're going to want His will to rule in your life. The Scripture, the number one tool to have. Now, admiring God will dominate my prayers. Honoring God will dominate my prayers. Glorifying God will dominate my prayers. How can we strive for that very thing? That it's God that dominates our prayers. There's several ways, but there's just one way that I want to share with you that you can admire Him, you can glorify Him by using this book of the Scripture. What is it? The Psalms. You already got it. Right? I said, I'm not speaking anything that's new. But the Psalms, it doesn't get any better than the Psalms sometimes. I mean, what do you have in the Psalms? You have thanksgiving, you have praises, you have characteristics of God, you have recalling of His great deeds. You have it all. You have where the psalmists are really struggling, are very truthful with God. God, I'm struggling. The cords of death are wrapping around me and getting tighter. Where are you? You want to learn how to pray? Live in the Psalms. The cords of death were wrapping around me, or another passage like, I feel like giving up. All these unbelievers are getting away with everything. I'm struggling. I have my burdens. And then I looked upon the Lord. That's how you struggle. That's how you suffer, is you ultimately bring your thoughts to God. And we have this in the Scripture. We have this in the Psalms. All right, some of you, maybe many of you, have never prayed the Scripture back to God. Many of you maybe have never prayed the Psalms back to God. And we want to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word. We don't want to be encouraged. I don't want you to just walk out of here encouraged. I want you to walk out of here with the tools to be able to pray, especially the Psalms, back to God. Do you agree? Okay. Oh, great. Here we go. Right? Let's practice. Everybody turn to Psalm chapter 96. This is just a random psalm that I sat in, or I was in this week. Okay? If you're not using God's Word in the Psalms, you're missing out on the richness of vocabulary of who God is, what He's done. Look at Psalm 96. Now, this is a long psalm. It's not long. It's only 13 verses. But to make this practical, we need to break this up. Okay? I can't expect you to say, okay, how would you pray this back? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give each section a portion of this, and I want you to spend about 2 minutes talking with each other, and how would you pray this psalm back to God, glorifying Him, honoring Him, whatever else that is that you find in this passage, okay? All right, so I would like for this section here to discuss verses 1 to 3, how would you pray this back to God in honoring and worshiping Him, okay? The back section here, I would like 4 to 6, verses 4 to 6. Discuss next to your neighbor on how it is that you, what points would you worship and glorify God, okay? This section, 7 to 9, verses 7 to 9. And then the back section, 10 to 13. So we have 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, and 10 to 13, okay? All right, so spend a few minutes looking at this passage, and then we need some discussion among yourselves on some points that you might offer praise to God for. We could spend lots and lots and lots of time. One thing, just word of caution too, when you're looking at the Old Testament, you don't want to apply promises and things that are specifically for Israel or for specific time to ourselves. You know, so there's a lot you can't just read all of it at face and expect exact promises. So you have to have discernment too. Just, again, we all have the passage before us. So, all right, group 1 through 3. How would you pray? What are some things that you could praise God or thank Him or?
Well, each day is a new day.
Okay.
You know, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord in all the earth. So each day is a new day. And I would say that every day.
So you could pray, you're praising Him for the salvation. It says, praise Him, make His salvation known.
I thank the Lord when I wake up every morning that He brought the Savior to my
Okay. So that salvation is part of, for us, we interpret that with through Jesus, ultimate salvation through Jesus Christ, right? Okay, good, excellent. Any other?
Seems important to sing to God while you're praying.
Has anyone ever sang to God while you're praying?
Yeah.
You singers.
You know one thing about.
But that's true, though.
I listen to TV. I got music all the time. And I listen to that channel, a Lightning channel on music,
mm-hmm.
And I listen to that at night, and I wake up in the night. And there's still songs of praise and thanking God.
From listening to it,
yeah.
How cool is that? Yeah, recall it. Yes.
I can't sing. I shouldn't sing by myself. I don't have a good voice for singing, but I sit on my back porch sometimes and sing songs that I know. You know,
you can.
And yes, most of my neighbors in the home, nobody here is going to
And he gave you the voice, so.
Singing on tune, he said, make a joyful noise.
That's it. He said, that doesn't say nothing about make a good tune. It says joyful noise. That's right. Yes. Look, now, just as an example, who of us ever thought that possibly singing can be part of our prayer? Look, I mean, we just, the 1 through 3, other than you guys. But, you know, anybody said, and that's what brought. That's what God had for Kyle. It's like, you know what? Sing to the Lord. Sing of His salvation. Sing of His. Okay, that's excellent. Excellent.
Yeah,
so you can pray, Lord, thank you to be able to sing to you.
I'm just going to say, every time we sing a song in the hymnal, we're praying.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is specifically for your time of prayer.
that again, you could add that, but you're praising God from His words. His words led you, guided you to praise and to be reminded of your salvation. Now, for us, that's Christ Jesus. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, so that's just verse 1-3. How long could you spend just on that? As you look at it like salvation, and just thinking about, that's where you run out of time before you run out of words when you're including the scripture. Okay, 4-6.
Well, sometimes like it's a lot different than just reading it.
Yes.
Like you're saying the Lord, but then if you're trying to pray action, then we just have to, all you have to do is change it to like, so I just put, Lord, you are great and highly to be praised. You are feared above all gods. Lord, you made the heavens. And then, what's that? I say, thank you.
Yeah.
And then, Lord, splendor and majesty are before you, and strength and beauty are in your sanctuary.
So to make it simple. Yeah. You're like his fear. Now I can start thinking about, you are to be feared. Lord, forgive me for not being so. You know, you just start spending, because that at that moment jumped out at you. Or his beauty. What how did you start to say your beauty?
Splendor and majesty are before you, and strength and beauty.
Just thinking of those words as they relate to God. That's meditating with your mind and your soul on His Word. Your majesty. Your splendor. Lord, I can't imagine your splendor in heaven. Or, I mean, you just start allowing God and His Spirit to speak through you through His Word. You just spend minutes just here. So that's awesome. Do you guys have stuff up here that say Samuel? Okay. What did you put?
I would add a thing, and it goes back to those 1-3. But when we did Psalm 33, spending the ladies more fun, one of the first things she said is we're really being commanded to say worship. So,
yeah, that's
clearly it's not beautiful, but it's a joyful voice. And I have tried.
Right. See, yes.
Because she said God said to.
God said do it. That's all, yeah, and that's something too that I didn't. I kind of skipped over the singing part because I'm not a singer, and I went right to the salvation and all that. See how we learn from one another? Okay, 7-9, right?
For other nations, brothers and sisters.
Okay, it says, what about other nations?
Giving credit for them. It says, ascribers.
Ascribe
for.
Okay. Okay. To have that, he's calling upon the nations to ascribe glory to God. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Lord, Myanmar, Lord. Lord, that nation is full of people who are in dark and do not know you. I pray for that whole nation that they would ascribe glory.
That's true.
See that? I would not have that without that song. I would probably not think of that without that song. So now, I'm probably 15, 20 minutes into my just praise. But I only have 23 minutes to go. So I got, Lord, you know what this day is going to bring me. I pray for such and such, right? So, okay, what's another? Was there anything else you guys said?
Praising Him in the church. It says in His courts.
In His courts, okay. Okay, so for Israel, that would be the temple or synagogue, right? Okay.
For us in church.
So for us, as we gather, no matter where we gather, right? His body gathers, his temple, we are His temple, we get to praise Him. So Lord, thank you for allowing me to gather with brothers and sisters and praise you. Good. Did you guys have one?
Worship and His awesomeness, which says splendor.
So reminded of His splendor? Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we need time.
Got them together, good,
yeah,
good.
Together.
Okay. See, we're short on time right now.
JD could
just because of the song.
Just keep going.
It up. Okay,
just keep going.
So you guys, who we have? We had 11 through or 10 through 13.
what Shelly did. I took the scripture. Worked a little bit, so it's more like my language.
Mm-hmm. The Lord reigns over all the earth. He created the earth, the heavens. This way I look at it, the sea, the heavens, trees, everything. We rejoice over all.
Lord, the creator.
Just look out.
Yeah, and so this prompted you to praise him for his creative work. And then, what else is there? Anything else? His lack.
Judgment, you will be a judgment for all.
Yeah. Oh, we cannot wait for that day. He is going to come and govern over and rule over the earth. Lord, someday, right now, Lord, you're not in 100%, you know, there's other, you're ruling over, but there's others who are not willing to submit. Lord, someday you're going to bring your judgment, and you're going to govern with a mighty iron fist. No longer will be the day of grace. You step out of line during the millennial kingdom, and you will immediately suffer consequences. No more patience on God's part. But praise God by his grace that we will be part of the obedient, redeemed children. Amen? Look how much time we spent just slicing and dicing and applying the scripture. So we are not out of words, but out of what? This was the thing I figured we wouldn't get to. But, whoops. This is for your thoughts. Is this. Oh, one is, I have a sheet back here of 4 weeks, and I want to challenge you to take this calendar and get in a psalm, and you can do it chronologically, I do it randomly, write the psalm that you spend time in, all right, and just keep track of the psalms that you spend time in. I want to challenge you to use the psalms every day, a portion of it, to worship and glorify him. There's 150 chapters, and there's almost 2,500 verses. You will run out of time before you run out of words, okay? All right, and the last thing, which we won't talk about, is if you focus on God and his kingdom and your prayers, how could that change your whole perspective and view of your problems? Well, the psalmists show you. They're about ready to give up. And then I looked upon the Lord. Okay? The prayers of the upright are his delight. Do we need to say anything else? Schedule time with God. Spontaneously spend time with him. Let's pray. How can we not, Lord, how can we not exercise the great privilege of praying and fellowship with you? And especially when you tell us that you delight. You delight when your children, just like a father would. I delight when my kids come to me and need help or assistance or be obedient. Lord, we want to be obedient so that we can come and do that which is you most delight in, and that is hearing from your children. So I pray that this month, as we look into the Psalms and use the Psalms and the richness of the promises and thanksgiving and praises, that our prayer life will blossom because of your Spirit, because of your Word, and because you've given us an obedient heart. So help us to be obedient and do what you demand, that we pray according to the truth. And let us find these truths in the Psalms this month. In Jesus' name, amen.